As the years continue on, technology is only getting better, smaller, faster, and cheaper, and that enables makers without access to high-end fabrication and materials to make more and more impressive designs. Like, for example, a Nintendo 64 that is smaller than the original controller, screen included, no permanent cables needed. Praise be to those who have this kind of talent and commitment to pull off such an incredible feat. This is just one story in the first episode of 2021. Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki for this and the rest of the New Year's news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, the very first show of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you on January the 3rd of 2021 with my co-hosts. I'm just noticing I did the classic mistake at the beginning of the year, and it still says 2020 up in the text here on Twitch, because we do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And let's get that officially changed. Yes, we are in 2021. Anyway, episode 850 for this January the 3rd of 2021. Again, I am Rob Roberts, and joining me as always, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hi, how are you, Jamie?
I'm all right. I've been fighting my new camera today and fighting my mic and fighting my headphones and, you know, all kinds of garbage. So,
yeah, but we're good. Yeah, you guys should have seen the scramble before the show. And I thought we had her, and then it slipped from me. That's all right.
Well, as you can see, I've got a new camera.
Yeah, you look really good.
Another new camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the thing is that I don't have a long enough cable for it. So it's nestled in an awkward spot until I can get it adjusted.
Yeah, but it works. We get the whole sense of your nerd cave that you have going on there. So it looks good. Glad to see it.
I have my right behind me is that I finally got my Supernatural shelf put together, and I realize I need another shelf for it.
One more shelf is never enough. Going to our chat over twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network, because again, we do tape live on Sunday nights over there. Pixel Paca saying, woo, new camera. And Pod Culture saying, I like the blue on that wall. I do too. It's a good color blue. Sorry, well, podcast folks.
The color Matt painted it.
But it's a good color. It's a good color.
People don't always remember. This used to be Grandpa's house.
Yes, I don't know if everybody knew that, but or Captain Matt, depending on which shows you listen to, but yeah. So, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to ask how your New Year's went, because it was kind of weird this year. I mean, obviously with no parties or anything, but just I watched the Times Square thing on TV, and it was so weird. Did you partake in any of that?
Played Animal Crossing at midnight.
Oh, of course.
That's it. I didn't. It actually wasn't even anything worth talking about.
Yeah. The animation in Animal Crossing was super cute. I saw like a lot of people were doing the clips and putting it, you know, because Nintendo has the share thing. So a lot of people were putting it on Twitter that way. And I seem to remember making a quip that the Animal Crossing parties looked a little more hopping than Times Square did this year. So it was cute. I loved the way Nintendo did it. It's super cute.
Well, I mean, I liked the music in it, I reckon. Mm-hmm. We really, the music is actually what made me kind of happy with New Year. Mm-hmm. And then, but for the most part, I just wasn't feeling it. I haven't really been feeling any holiday anything.
I hear you.
But there's also, I mean, there's been some personal drama around those lines, just with, you know, anniversary of people who we've lost and
sure
things like that. So,
well, here's hoping that there is light at the end of the tunnel for 2021. And, you know, we can all get our vaccines and bring OLR back together again, later this year, whenever it may be. And I don't think we have any realistic time frame yet. We'll do it when it's safe for those that are curious, like when's the gang going to get back together? I'd like to know that too, but there's a lot of factors. So we're just going to keep doing what we're doing in the meantime, which has worked out for us, through 2020 best it could. Let's go
On these lines, we're still together, just virtually.
What? Yes, virtually together at home. Yes, that whole thing. Absolutely. You know, and I talked about this a little bit last week. Like, I was always kind of skeptical of the idea if it would really work. And I'm not sure the technology was really there even like 3-4 years ago before Discord was so commonplace now. I don't think we could have done this over Skype as easy. I really don't. But I think some of the newer things, you know, Zoom, I guess we could have used this. Everybody else is using StreamYard, nuts, that stuff. But I really think the technologies, thank heavens, were there for shows like us and many others right at the right time, for sure. So, yeah. And I hope you guys are all staying safe out there as well. Also, I should note. Well, I'll note it in a minute. Let me also introduce. I don't want to make him sit there anymore. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Sorry, Jamie and I had to dish. You had a big start to the year. We got to talk about this. You dropped something big. you took a big crap all over the internet.
It was supposed to be at the end of the year, but like, you know.
Yeah.
There was some bugs that I didn't anticipate that I had to fix.
But so, yeah, tell us about it.
I released a New Year's Eve. Well, it was New Year's Eve. Demo for Pixel Poops 2. So it's got 5 brand new levels, a few of which that are New Year's themed, and I have like a fun color changing thing to go along with that and stuff. So it's available now. You can download it and play it and check it out.
And it's available over on itch.io on your page, which...
So it's techmastergames.itch.io.
Nice.
It's where you can find it. It's also linked in the Discord and on my social media and all that stuff.
Nice. Well, congratulations. I did download it and check it out. And you have to have very specific emulators to run it. But I used one of the ones you said.
Yeah, Messen's really the best way to go with that. I'm going to put together, there's this thing called Nest Tech that one of the guys in the community that made this game, Flea, put together to actually publish his games on Steam. And so it's kind of a wrapper for NES games. And so it works okay. I actually checked it out to try to do that. So I'm just going to set that up and I'll put that up as another download as well.
Nice.
And then that way you don't have to worry about trying to find the emulator and get your stuff configured. You can just load it and it'll go. And so that'd be another way to try it out. So I'll be coming soon.
I downloaded it and I played a little bit, but I didn't play too much because I want to do a Twitch stream of it. And that'll happen soon. With Awesome Games Done Quick this week, it might not happen until next week, but that's on the agenda. I want to stream Loki's game. Because here we are. It's been, what, like 3 years, and now I'm sitting here going, I played Loki's game. I did. I can say that. Here's how we're starting 2021. I played Loki's game. And you have a few folks in chat who checked it out as well, so congrats.
Yeah, I tried to make it difficult because it is going to be, you know, obviously, like if I was just to release the first few levels I had made so far, like in my actual game, it wouldn't be difficult at all. But I just tried to ramp up the difficulty as each level went on. And I also changed the way that the continues work, because typically in the main game, it's going to be, you know, if you continue within, like, say, a span of like 10 levels, it resets you back to the beginning of whatever world you're in. And since this is only a 5-level demo, it is just reset you back to whatever level you're in, and you get 3 continues. Although, I mean, I'm sure you could figure out a way to get more continues if you use, you know, certain methods that you might have used in, say, I don't know, Contra or...
Okay, yeah. Shine a fucking spotlight on it, Loki. Why don't you? But that's okay. So, exclusive.
Yes, the Konami code does work. So give it a try.
All right.
So I just tried to make it a little bit challenging. I have actually ramped the difficulty down in the last level because I had the spawn time a little bit tighter. So it was spawning much faster and it got really, really difficult. So I had to ramp it down because I do want people to actually be able to complete it.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm really,
fun.
I'm excited for you to release the full game, and it sounds like you have different ways you can approach it, like whether you do like a Steam wrapper type of thing. And of course, you had talked about doing some limited, very, very limited cartridge runs as well. And I know some of our folks will be into that, and we'll hear more about that throughout the year. But congrats
exactly,
on getting
release. Because actually, I did commission artwork for the actual cartridges themselves and possibly packaging and stuff like that. So that should be coming in a few weeks. But yeah, okay. It'll be fun.
I'm excited. Now we get to say game developer Loki. You're no longer tech master Loki. You're game developer Loki.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, let's get into some news. Well, let's be honest. The news this week is a little bit lighter, as it usually is. Yeah, I know. I'm going to be real. We have a few things to talk about, and we will. But the news that, like, the types of news items we have tonight would probably be like rapid fire any other week. So it's you know, there's not a lot going on because of the new year and the holiday and what have you. It's just the site. Most people probably in the game industry are just off this week. In fact, a lot of journalists and people that report on the industry are off this week. Even if we're all, you know, staying at home, well, A, we know not everybody stayed at home, unfortunately, but B, even if you're staying at home, it's still good to take a break. You don't want to necessarily be working, you know, 365 a year. So the industry slowed down this week with the new year and everything. So the news is slowing down as well. There's a few things, though. We'll get into it. But this is a really good time for us to take a look back on 2020. I know as much as we want to avoid it, there was a great comic out there, and I know I shared it on Twitter, and Jamie, I saw you posted it on Facebook. It was a great comic that was, and I'm sorry, I forget the artist's name, but it showed the year 2020, like talking to the Grim Reaper or something, going, was I a good year? And the Grim Reaper goes, no, Jesus Christ, God, fuck no. Even though
it's like the little dog one, was I a good boy?
Yes,
you were the best.
It was it was a parody opposite of that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. it was that with 2020. I know we don't want to look back on 2020, but when it comes to games, there were some pretty good ones, and this is always a fun thing for us to do. And I'm sure half the shows, if not more, that you listen to are doing something similar, and that is to look back on our favorite games of the year. And I don't like to say the best games of the year or the definitive no, because everybody's got their own opinions. These are our favorite games of the year, and there's nothing you can do about it, period. And you know what? Sometimes a game might sneak in there that didn't actually come out this year. I mean, look at Among Us, right? I mean, that game's been getting lots of accolades this year. Technically, that came out in 2018. Some people take issue with Hades and the early access to that game. Not really a 2020 game. Those rules do not apply here at OLR. They are our favorite games of 2020. Usually, we would go around and go like 3-3-3-2-2-2-1-1-1. But I think I just want to, you know, with the crazy year it's been and the interesting game releases, I think I just want to let people go and give their lists and talk about their reasons why. So can I call on Dark Soccer to go first? Only because I have a really good idea what's coming.
It was all Animal Crossing. I mean, that was really it, all Animal Crossing. I didn't really play anything else but Animal Crossing. The other stuff that I played was just like retro games. Like, you know, I played a lot of Pop and Twinbee. I played a lot of Puyo Puyo. So I guess actually that Puyo Puyo championship thing that came out, I would put that as number two. But Animal Crossing. Just Animal Crossing.
Why do you think, like, is retro, you know, I don't need to get too, like, into, like, what is going through your brain, Dark Soccer, but just trying to see if maybe there's something here about, like, do you think, like, the retro games in this year have been kind of, like, comfort food in a way?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's, do I want to go out to this fancy new restaurant that's opened up and everyone loves, or do I want pizza? And I want pizza. Because even when pizza is bad, it's still pretty fucking good.
Wasn't that a quote, Mallrats? Anyway, or Clerks.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. You know what's funny? Because even on the Xbox Series X that I have, I was going back into my library the other day and I was like, I want to go play Gyrus because they released that on the 360 at one point. So it's in my library and I had it. And I ended up having like a retro day around here. And I that's kind of why I asked the question is because, you know, with as crazy of a year as it's been, sometimes those old standards and those old go-tos have been the comfort food, the pizza we've needed this year. So like, I get it. I do. SSG 100 Matt says, I didn't really play too many new 2020 games. I mostly dug into my backlog that I never touched after I bought them. So Firewatch was one of my favorite games I played in 2020. That's a very good point as well about now's the time to dig into the backlog. Fifth Dream
because
says comfort
Link's
games.
Adventure came out this year.
Absolutely. Last year. I think it was early in the year. Maybe late last year.
So actually, here's how I'm going to put it. I'm going to put it as Animal Crossing first and then Breath of the Wild. Because that's still, you know, just beautiful and way at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say Puyo Puyo Championships.
All right. That's her list and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Let's see. And some other folks in chat are kind of like confirming like, yeah, I kind of went to a lot of my old go-tos as well. Questbusters talking about Gyrus warps to Neptune. No. It's always about you have to get to Neptune so that it's three warps to Uranus. You have to get that far in the game. That's the legendary part. Three warps. How far is a warp? I don't know. Anyway, and some folks just talking about some of their comfort games for the year. Okay. Loki, how about your list? You have comfort games on your list, or what? How does your 2020 best of shape up?
So I've got, let's see, Hot Shots Racing. That was a pretty fun one because it was kind of like a 90s arcade racer game. So that was definitely up there. Gosh, it was hard to decide with like my top three. Probably I'd say, I don't know. Final Fantasy VII was all right, but I never finished it. The remake. Half-Life Alyx, I think, made more of an impact, I think, on me because I thought it was just a really excellent VR game. So Half-Life Alyx, and then, of course, Cyberpunk 2077, even though it's a buggy mess, but it's still a great game.
When has that ever bothered you?
It doesn't, yeah. It just adds to it, actually. As long as it doesn't break the game where I can't play it, then I really don't care.
Yeah. Are you purposely putting bugs into your game?
Not purposely, but there's stuff I know where the bugs are, and there's some that I can't do anything about. And some that maybe my rainbow effect caused more problems for, but you know, it's fine. It's nice. But no, I'm not purposely putting bugs in the game.
Orange Wright is kind of agreeing, kind of with a hybrid here of what Jamie and Loki have both said, saying I pretty much stuck to retro games and games that were on my backlog pile. Only 2020 games I really played were Animal Crossing and Hot Shot Racing. So
I mean, it's been mainly Minecraft this year again, so it's like I can't really do that again, but yeah.
I think that's been an important one for you to entertain the kids too, which is something a lot of people are going through in the pandemic is how do I entertain my kids all day every day when I was used to school being a part of this and outdoor stuff and going over to someone else's house, you know, that thing, it's that's all been disrupted this year.
Well, I finally got Discord set up for my son and his friends, so now that they can chat now with each other, which has been like he's really enjoyed that. So they're cool. Playing like Among Us and stuff, and Roblox doing that, so that's kind of fun.
Nice. All right, I've given a lot of thought to my top three, so here we go. And honestly, like, I'm kind of with you guys in the sense that, like, if you ask me to give a number four, I'm not sure I could give one. I just kind of feel like I have three. And then, like you guys, Final Fantasy 14, that's my comfort food and continues to be like the social interaction that I get with other people, you know, being able to play with, you know, my friend Shane and my friend Ray and the people that I've played that game with online for a while now. It's a good social thing. So like, honestly, that should be in my top three, but it's not. I did go with games that came out this year just because I did play enough that I did think were that good. So here we go. My number three game, I'm going to say the Final Fantasy VII Remake. I don't think it's very often that games have so much behind it when it comes to like the hype and being able to live up to those expectations. But I feel like Final Fantasy VII Remake did a great job of delivering a quality game. And I think we've seen time and time again where sometimes that bar gets raised so high, the games can't really meet it, and they end up, you know, getting a lot of backlash with that. I didn't feel that at all with Final Fantasy VII. Did I have some minor complaints about the game? Sure, I think a lot of people did. But did I feel like I was getting an experience worthy of being like Final Fantasy XVI? Not to be confused with the actual Final Fantasy 16 that got announced this year, but did I feel like I was playing the next iteration of a Final Fantasy game with some familiar characters? Yes, I did. And I have to, and the one thing I really wasn't expecting, I was ready to be pissed about the story, to not like, to be like, why did they make just the Midgar section of the, I almost said Midgar Summer, the Midgar section of the game, the entire first game? Why did they do that? But I think the game throughout its paces justified what they did. And without spoiling the ending and getting into the ending, I found the ending to be something where I was like, damn, that was not what I expected, but that's great. And, you know, really kind of leaves the door open for what's next. And I do think a lot of people are going to revisit this game this year in 2021. I know we're going to do predictions next week, but I can already tell you, I will absolutely predict there will be a Final Fantasy VII Remaster plus International Edition, we'll say, or something like that, that will come with maybe a couple extra fights in the section of the game where you can kind of pick fights. Maybe another limited chapter, maybe allowing more control of one character who you never get to control later on in the game. I see some doors available to open a little bit to make just that Final Fantasy VII plus, in the way that you got Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age, and Final Fantasy X International, and sometimes they do it with Kingdom Hearts. And maybe if you beat it, like Kingdom Hearts, if you beat it all and you get that, you know, perfect run of the game, maybe an extra scene that will start to lead into Chapter 2 of the Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I really believe that's going to come this year because we're going to have the end of the Xbox exclusive window. So I don't see why Square wouldn't want to release the game there. And if they're going to do it there, they're going to do a version that's optimized for the X and the S. They're going to do a PC version that's in tandem with that, which means yay mods for that crowd. And then, of course, the PlayStation 5 is going to need a version to bring that up to parity. So I fully anticipate there will be a Final Fantasy VII plus International Edition, something along those lines, for holiday this year. If not holiday this year, certainly next year. But I think when the Xbox exclusive window kind of runs out, I think they're going to be itching for their own version of that game.
So I was going to say, so I had to check because I couldn't remember exactly when I downloaded the app, but apparently it was very almost to 2020 when I downloaded Orna. So I definitely have to add Orna to the list as well, because okay. I mean, that was pretty much this entire year. So
I'll allow it. You're right. I'm totally ignoring my GPS game thing, Orna, Ingress, Pogo, all of it. I'm kind of ignoring it. But yeah, I think those were very important this year as well. Looking in chat, DJ Rama S theorizes, Rob, expect the Xbox version to be a digital release only. I'm curious more why you think that is. Is that like a supply issue, or is it going to be on Game Pass maybe? Lot there. And Phoenix7726 says, God, no. Please finish the saga first. Leave the milking to EA or Activision. Kingdom Hearts was bad enough with that. I hear you, Phoenix. It's not that I disagree. It's just this whole now PlayStation 5 and Xbox X and S are the new thing. And I don't see why Square wouldn't take the opportunity to try to milk another. Maybe they won't go $60. Maybe they'll go down to 40, but they'll definitely try to milk for more money.
So are we going to get Crisis Core and Dirge of Cerberus in there? I mean,
no, I fucking hope not. Like, get to work on part two. Crack the whip. Like, we're ready for it. But anyway.
They need to take the approach of Activision, where they have, like, five different companies working on one property, and they just keep churning out more content for it.
And Dijarama S is saying Squeenix did it with Kingdom Hearts and Nier Automata. Every exclusive release the PS4 has had from Square Enix ends up as a digital release on Xbox a year later. All right, I didn't think about that. I thought Kingdom Hearts had a disc version, but maybe I'm wrong. All right. Okay, so that was my number three game, Final Fantasy VII Remake. My number two game, this may come as a surprise. My number two game for the year, I'm going to say, is Hades. Hades, it's cool because Hades is almost, in a way, like the antithesis of the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Because you have Final Fantasy VII, the big game, the huge game, and all this stuff that comes out. And then Hades is like this indie game that comes out of nowhere almost. I mean, yes, it had the hype from the, you know, the lead up and all that stuff with the early access. I really think Hades kind of came through because of the Switch release. And that's what really put it on everybody's radar. So I do really consider it a 2020 game. But it's like this little indie game that did amazing. Hades tells a story with very familiar characters. And it has a game in a very familiar type of game that's been a very controversial genre for a long time, the roguelike. But it does all of these things so well that it doesn't need the bells and whistles of 2020 graphics, 2020 flair, and the things we would expect from PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. It's just a really good game with really great voice acting, really great story, and really great mechanics that is absolutely worth your time and quite stellar and one of the best games of the year. And if you're afraid of Hades because you don't like roguelikes, I would really urge you to take a step back and give this one a different go because it does things differently than other roguelikes have before. And it doesn't build on itself quite the same way that other roguelikes have done before. It's a little bit slower, and that's actually a good thing, I think, the way it does it, and a little more limited. And I think that really allows you to experience the story in a full way. And Shane is in chat this year and going after me saying, I have wrong opinions about Hades. Nothing was better than Hades this year, not even the new Frog Fractions. Oh, I forgot about that one. Maybe honorable mentions. Sia Tiberi says, you forgot incredible and thirst-inducing art. Shane continues, the game underneath is amazing, and the writing and music and voice acting are all great. Honestly, no lies. And is number two really that bad of a spot? I don't think it is. And it's really close, and I did do a last-minute switcheroo because I really sat back and I thought about the games that came out this year and like what they've meant and so forth. So that being said, my number one game of the year is Animal Crossing. And that might surprise you because I talked about how I kind of took a break from Animal Crossing for a little bit, but I just don't think here's the thing. And maybe this is how I placate Shane a little bit, too. But no, this is my honest answer. This isn't about, you know, making anyone happy. I said it's my list, and you can take it or leave it. I think in any other year, if this was 2019, if this was 2018, I think, yes, Hades is number one. And Animal Crossing, I'm not even sure, makes the top three. Maybe number three. I think because of what 2020 did to all of us, and I think because of what this year has done to our culture, I think Animal Crossing provided that escape that we desperately needed. And sure, there's lots of games with great storylines, whether Hades, Final Fantasy, Cyberpunk, that maybe was the escape for you as well. But I think the things that Animal Crossing brought us with the virtual graduations when you couldn't have a graduation in person, with the...
my birthday?
Of course, your birthday. The ability to visit friends when you otherwise can't, I think, has been so meaningful in this shit year that Animal Crossing, like, I think, helped many of us get through this god-awful year. And so I think, honestly, for those reasons, it deserves the kudos as the game that best represents 2020. And that's what it's about. So I thought about that for a long time. Like, but I think when I was really thinking about, like, what did the games that came out this year, like, really mean, and what really embodies what 2020 was and what is a symbol of this year, I really truly think it's Animal Crossing. And obviously, Jamie, I'm sure you have no problem hearing this. You are probably the opposite of Shane here in this regard. But I know you and I have talked about this at length. And we've talked about it here on this show. And we even did an Animal Crossing. We did a special OLR that was about Loki, does that video have boobies in it? You got to be careful with the Twitch guidelines.
It's tasty. It's Saints Row.
Just look out. All right. No nudity. All right. Anyway, sorry.
It's SARS. There's no nudity in that game.
Yeah. So, Jamie, you know, we've kind of talked about this at length, is about, like, I think it was like the therapy that, like, so many people kind of needed this year.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was there for, I don't know, it just gave people a special kind of outlet and a great distraction that was in a safe place.
Yeah.
You know, it was very safe.
And I'm going to tell you the moment I realized that I needed to change my list, actually. And the moment I realized I needed to change my list was New Year's Eve. And watching that people were more interested in New Year's Eve on what was going on in their Animal Crossing towns. And this goes far beyond even just the audience of this show. I'm talking about, you know, generally what I saw on social media and everything. There was more interest in what was going on in people's Animal Crossing towns than there was going on in Times Square and any of that on TV and so forth. And I think that's just a sign of everything of 2020. So I'm also very appreciative that Nintendo has still continued to support the game as strongly as it has. So anyway, going to other comments. S. Joan Hunter Matt says, Rob distracted by strippers. It happened. Shane in chat says, Animal Crossing was great, not to crap on it at all, and probably deserves somewhere in the top five for sure. And that's it. Everybody's going to have a different list. And even though I gave my three, it's probably not going to match anyone else's three. And that's okay. There are games I didn't get around to playing this year. Last of Us Part Two, which many people have been hyping up, didn't get around to playing it this year because it's the zombie gore stuff that I'm a little, although people are telling me I need to give it a rest and try it already. So maybe that's a 2021 thing. We'll see. Ghost of Tsushima is another one I just haven't gotten around to yet, that I understand is very good as well. And there's plenty of others, but, I think everything we all collectively named and many of your favorites as well are worth playing. And honestly, it's funny because, he keeps changing his name. What's his name now? No One Special 77 in chat. He always changes his name. That's okay. I just have to keep track. So is it what Nader? Is it okay? Oh yes. No One Special 77 asked us last week, what are the worst games of the year? I don't think I played any. I don't think I played any game where I was like, this is bad. And what's funny, later in the show, we're going to talk about what some websites said were bad. And there's actually a game that I played that's on it. And I'm not sure I would call it that bad. And I'm just not sure it was a year for crap games. But maybe because of everything else we've talked about before, we kind of got to where we talked about retro games being the comfort blanket, MMOs being that comfort food, whatever it is that you're into as your comfort games. Maybe we just didn't have time for the bad shit because of all that. I don't know. Or maybe we're just not as critical of the games and all that. But I tried to give it some real good thought. I don't have any bad games this year. I really don't. I don't know if you guys do, but
anyway. No, I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
I really can't either. Like I said, I've really just been sticking to the stuff that I like or that I know that I like. Pixel Poops has crap, but
that's not crappy. That's going to be on my 2021 list for sure. No, I will say right now, Pixel Poops, due to the conflict of interest and that I am a responsible gaming commentator on a podcast out of my spare bedroom. I will not be placing Pixel Poops on my top three. It is ineligible. There's a conflict of interest there. So, because
I'll put it on my top.
Jamie's like, I'll take it. All right. That game is going to get enough promotion here on this show.
3.5.
All right.
It's number
3.5. Questbusters.
Actually.
Oh, go ahead.
I will actually go back and say that maybe the game that pissed me off the most this last year was Cuphead, because fuck, it's hard.
It is.
Yep.
It is. Questbuster in chat says Avengers has a good campaign, but the rest of it was bad. Shane is saying Ori 2 as far as good games go. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Don't forget that. Great call out. Another game that isn't on my list because I refuse to play it until I beat Ori and the Blind Forest, the first one. And like a lot of games, I ended up playing that for like 4 hours. And then I was like, shiny, and went somewhere else. Squirrel. And went somewhere else. It happens. But God, the first game is probably on one of my most played games of this year for sure. So, all right. Great discussion, you guys. A lot of good games out there. So that's some insight into our top games of 2020. All right. Let's take a look now. So sitting here, and it's probably hard to see on camera, but sitting here, I have this little silly Darth Vader coin bank thing. And I know why it's in my house. It was a lovely gift, but it has turned into the time capsule that we have here at OLR that our predictions go into every year. We will be making predictions for 2021 next week on the show, because I kind of think it's going to be a slow week next week as well. So we're going to kind of do it virtually, and I'll just write everything down that the others say, since we can't really do our own all in the same place. But I thought tonight we could take a look back at what is in the tin from last year, which I was convinced there's nothing in it, but I peeked just to see, is anything in there? And there's like three slips of paper in it. So I don't know if somebody snuck things in when I wasn't looking.
Maybe you put stuff in there and then we forgot to do the
whole
thing.
No, I remember that we did it.
All right.
Or maybe it was that we never answered it this year
maybe.
Or last year.
Well, you know what? I'm opening it. Here we go. I'm going to pull them out. Here we go. This one says, okay, this looks like Loki's handwriting.
Oh, maybe I threw stuff back in there again.
You probably did. You probably snuck your own shit in there. All right. EA will close BioWare after Anthem underperforms due to EA shittiness, i.e. loot boxes. Well,
no, they haven't done that.
Anthem has underperformed. We still
bounce back with the stuff that they rely on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point, is that BioWare is definitely leaning on the wheelhouse that they know will perform for them, namely Mass Effect. And I think a lot of us were worried about what was going to happen with Mass Effect after Andromeda seemed to get a lukewarm reception. But I think Mass Effect has heard loud and clear, or excuse me, BioWare has heard loud and clear that Mass Effect going back to its roots would make everybody very happy. And so now we know we're getting the remaster, you know, finally next year. It's official. And except there won't be multiplayer, so no loot boxes, Logi. We know we have that new mystery Mass Effect game that's probably years and years out. And of course, Dragon Age as well, still kind of, it's still really thin on what we know about that game, but hopefully soon. So, and then Questbuster does point out Casey Hudson and Mark Dara left BioWare. In Hudson's case, he left again. And Shane is saying, I can't wait for him to come back a third time and leave a third time. That's like, I'm going to go there, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But that's like watching Trump lose the recount over and over in every state. he tried again. We're doing it's election night all over. And he lost again. Let's go to the next slip. All right.
Another one of those, by the way.
What's that? This,
I'm still waiting for another time for him to lose, you know, before the day.
January 6th. All right. Anyway, this is the last slip. There was two slips in there. This is it. I think this might be Jamie's handwriting because it's not mine. And it says, still no Half-Life 3.
That was me.
Well,
we got Half-Life, Alex.
I know. I was going to say
Half-Life.
So. That's not a three.
It's not.
That's in the two area.
Here's I would say this is mixed. I agree that on its technical, literal purposes, the prediction is correct. There is still no Half-Life 3. However, I would be remiss to think that Half-Life Alyx was not internally thought of at some point to potentially be Half-Life 3. And somewhere along the way, they said, two things. Number one, doing it as a VR exclusive is not going to have the effect we want it to have. So I think they pulled back for that reason. Number two, I think if they'd called it Half-Life 3, people were going to have the expectations that go with Half-Life 3. And no matter what Valve did, they were never going to be able to live up to it. And so I kind of think for that reason, we got Half-Life Alyx. I don't think we ever will get a Half-Life 3. I think if we get Half-Life, it's going to be continuing Half-Life stories, kind of like what we got with Half-Life Alyx. But that's another one of those games where if you want to go back to the best games of the year, people that have played it, you know, and especially VR enthusiasts, absolutely have it in their top. That it is, well, you mentioned it, Loki, to be fair. It is absolutely a stunning piece of game. I haven't gotten around to playing it myself because I only have PlayStation VR, but I'm super curious about it.
They need to do some version of that game, though, that people who can't play VR games can play.
I think
there was a mod that someone made to make it so that you could do it without VR, but it's not good.
I think there will be Half-Life games like that. I don't think they will do Half-Life Alyx like that because...
even watch like a video or anything because it makes me so sick.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's the motion is a lot. That's, you know, it's interesting to see how there's been some VR games like Doom, I think, and even No Man's Sky has something like this because Doom is so fast paced. If I remember right, Doom was all about teleporting. You don't move. You teleport.
That's how Half-Life Alyx works. It's teleporting.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I thought it was all like
no
motion. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. It did seem like it was going, like in everything I've seen, it's like moving very fast.
You can teleport quickly, but you don't. Yeah, it's all teleporting.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Let's see. Bobby in chat says they would have to change the game way too much to get it to not work in VR. Yeah, I think it would end up being like and that's kind of like where I'm getting at, is that at that point it would be a different game. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do that, but I do understand that like not every puzzle, not every element is going to be able to translate. And that's, yeah. Let's see. What else do I want to say? Mention here in chat. Pele Hanumea talking about what I said about Half-Life 3 and why. You nailed it, Rob. And Bobby says, Valve will never release a game called Half-Life 3. They would be stupid to do so. It will 100% disappoint. And I think that is exactly where Half-Life is right now. I think the game we should be asking about, and Jamie can agree with me on this, I believe, is Portal. Where's Portal 3? Yeah. Or some continuing story in that universe, which technically is the Half-Life universe. I don't see them taking Portal to VR. I think that would be a bit much. I'm okay with most VR things. I think even that in VR would be too much. But I would love to see that universe continue. But I'm worried it's the same thing. They'll never put out a game called Portal 3 because it would never live up to the hype of 2. So
if they did it, they wouldn't put like 3 in the name. It would be like called like Portal the Other Side or something.
Portal, all your cake and eat it too, or something like something with it. I don't know. I would love to see that. Honestly, for me personally, I'd
Portal,
love
the edible edition.
Portable, the edible, or Portal, the edibles.
Portable. That's it. They make a phone version and call it Portalable.
Portal, portable, potables.
Stop stealing our ideas, by the way. This is all of us.
All right.
Copyright Robin Jamie.
Patent pending.
OLR 2021.
All right. So yeah.
.com.
I would love to return to that universe more than Half-Life personally, but I get it. The hype for something like that would be very, very real. But I think it would still, if I don't think there's going to be an E3 this year or if there is, it's gonna be like a scaled down event like it was in years past, where you know you have to show your vaccine green card or something to get in. I don't know. We're still so far off. It's hard to say where the world's going to be at, but I still have that fantasy of Gabe Newell doing the press conference where he comes out on stage and says, "Half-Life 3 out today," and then drops the mic and the ceiling opens and all a bunch of mics drop in the ceiling. I'm still have that fantasy in my mind, but that would completely be an acceptable meme with Portal 3 as well. If he came out on stage and said, "Portal 3 out today," boom, 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 boom. I would be totally all right with that. All right. So that was our predictions for the year. We kept it short. How apropos. Anyway, we will do some new predictions next week. So y'all be thinking about that. Since I'm doing them virtually, we'll probably throw in a couple listener suggestions. So be on the lookout for that. All right. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games that we have been playing this week. Which may overlap with our games of the year. I don't know. I have some different things I can talk about, but let's get into our gaming weeks. We'll start with Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
Played Animal Crossing.
Of course.
Played Poppin' Twinbee, because, I mean, it's just a fun little shooter. I mean, everyone needs to go on the Nintendo Online and play Poppin' Twinbee, end of story. I actually picked up Okami HD, because there's like a Capcom sale going on the Switch store or the Nintendo store or whatever the crap they call it. And I don't have room to download it. We have something wrong with our card that we have on our Switch right now.
Hmm.
But I've just been pretty much in the retro gaming mode, getting stuff setting up to finally start streaming again now that things are working out better. Got a few things on Steam that I'm going to play. Looking at a few things anyway that I was going to throw onto the list. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, if anyone has a suggestion, look in my library and let me know what you think you'd want to see me play. Because I ain't buying anything unless you want to buy it for me.
All right. There's a couple more days left on that sale. All right. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
It's been mainly just I was rushing to get the demo done for Pixel Poops 2. So that was the majority of the week. Aside from that, though, then I did play a bit more of Minecraft with the kids on our realm. So we were building, or still are building, a lighthouse. And so that's been quite the endeavor. And then Orna, and yeah, that's about it.
All right, my gaming week, outside of the things I already talked about, because I talked about Pixel Poops number 2 and GPS gaming is always a thing. I see Azette in chat, shout out. GPS gaming is always a thing, of course. But outside of those, I have now, I wanted to know if Shane was still listening, although it looks like he may have rage quit after hearing the top games. I don't know where he has it on in the background. Who knows? But I will say this to earn Shane's favor back. I will say one game I played quite a bit yesterday was I played DJ Max on Steam because I did buy it in the sale. And I invoke Shane there because he was nudging me to pick that up already. So I did buy it because I was like, I'm not going to double dip. But it finally went on sale. It was pretty cheap. I think I paid $24 for like a edition that had the base game and like two of the expansions that are new. I don't think they were on the PlayStation 4 version. They're on the PC version only. So I picked that one up, and then I bought the Klazekwai pack as well because I had to have that. I can't play DJ Max and not have Flea, okay? So there's that. So yeah, I was playing that. It's so much easier on a keyboard than it is a controller. I'm hoping I can do a live stream coming soon of the game because it's a lot of fun. Hopefully the music in that is okay. There might be the two songs that are new to PC that might be things I have to avoid, but the rest of it should be all right. There was that. Last week on the show, I talked about Tell Me Why, and I played that a little bit. I continued in Tell Me Why this week, and I did get to the end of the first chapter. So I talked about last week. I'm like, I've got to be close. And I was pretty close. There was a, I was in the like kind of like the last section. Again, I don't want to spoil, but there's the last section that went on for quite some time. And then I was at the end. And I got to say, I think that section started to show some of the weakness of the game to me, is that some of it, like the story is really good and I'm really engaged in a lot of it. And I like the whole, like the twins can kind of, you know, see each other's, you know, memories and things like that. Like I'm all into that, but like the game in between it can sometimes get a little drier. Like I was exploring this office type area. We'll leave it at that. And it just kind of like, there was a big puzzle to solve, which did feel rewarding, but it was very like, go here to get the thing to go here, to get the thing to go here, that gives you the code to go here. Like it was very basic fetch type things. And I, you know, again, I still feel very favorably about the game overall, but I was like, okay, I see why maybe this game isn't exactly showing up on like year-end best list for the critics and that type of thing, is that there are some kind of dry parts in there. I honestly, when I play it, I'm like, this would be such an awesome movie. I'm kind of surprised they didn't just make a Netflix series out of it or something. It's a very compelling story. I would have loved to see like a movie, but I get why it's a game as well. So tell me why. And I'm going to keep playing more of that. Hopefully don't get too distracted, because I do want to see where the story goes. Of course, the first part ends with a big twist. I won't spoil. I kind of think you see it coming. I think if you're paying attention, you see it coming. I did, but maybe not. And so I'm kind of, you know, there'll probably be a big twist at the end of part two, and then it'll all end with a big twist as well. But I thought it was interesting. So, all right. Oh, Shane finally came back. Okay, then you missed. So I will repeat once for you, because it's the new year and I'm feeling generous. I had DJ Max as part of my gaming week because I finally bought it on Steam yesterday. And I was hoping maybe that would help calm you down about the 80s thing. All right. So yeah, I played some DJ Max yesterday. What else with this week? A little bit more Destiny 2. Halo. Dark Sakura. I actually unironically played some Halo this week with all the news last week about Halo going away. I remembered that the Master Chief Collection was a thing and I wanted to download it and check it out. And so, yeah, I was playing a little bit of the story mode on that. I will say, and I name checked Dark Sakura to give her a hard time. I know she doesn't care for it. That's fine. One thing I like, though, about the collection is that with a button press, you flip back between the old graphics and the new graphics. And it's really interesting to see what a long way it's come from just the Xbox, which was, you know, wasn't exactly a bad system. But like, dang, when you hit that button to toggle between like original Halo graphics and the new one, it's like, wow, this game looks so much better. So this is kind of interesting. All right. So then Shane says nothing is going to calm him down. Well, deal with it, I guess. All right. Let's get into some other things real quick, and then we're going to get into some gaming news. I do want to mention here at the top, and I'll say it towards the end of the show as well, Awesome Games Done Quick is going this week, and I know that has your attention as well. It is a fundraising event for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. I hope I got the charity right. I know it is a cancer prevention and research type of charity, and you know, I know a lot of our attention has been focused on COVID this year, and understandably so, but that doesn't mean that cancer went away. We still hate it. We still say fuck cancer. So I think this is a great cause to be raising money for. And so a lot of gamers have gotten together to put on a great display, the Olympics of speedrunning, if you will, in a way, where they go through games very quickly. It's all in the title, actually. And they raise a lot of money for charity, hopefully another couple million dollars, if the last few years have been any expectation. They are not doing it in person this year, of course. You can imagine why. It is another virtual event similar to the summer event, but that doesn't mean it's any less good. The speedruns are still very solid. The little bits that I've seen, excuse me, engaging. And a lot of the stories from the speedrunners are a lot of fun, too. VOG Network's very own Bobby Blackwolf will be one of the hosts for some various speed runs, and you can check him out on Wednesday night or afternoon, depending on what time zone you're in. He'll be hosting a speed run of Devil May Cry 3, and right after that, Yakuza 6, I believe it is. And then on Friday night, this is the one I'm most looking forward to that Bobby's hosting, is the Super Mario World 2 speed run, the Yoshi's Island speed run that he's doing on Friday. And I love that game, so I'm very excited to see that one. And, you know, touch fuzzy, get dizzy and all that. Oops, I got the games backwards. Sorry. Bobby corrected me. It's Yoshi's Island is on Wednesday and Yakuza's on Friday. My bad. At least I got the days right. So Bobby will be there on Wednesday and Friday night. We'll be hosting it here at VOG Network when there's no other scheduled programming, because we want to support the event as well. And Bobby being involved with it is pretty cool as well. Remember, if you do decide to donate, though, it is not about us. It's not about Bobby. It is about the speedrunner a little bit, but it's mostly about the charity. So please keep that in mind if you do decide to donate. I think that's all I have for the housekeeping. We'll mention the Games Done Quick thing at the end, because for those that are watching live here on Twitch TV tonight, we will go host them after the show tonight. I will not be opening it up to requests as I usually do. We're just going to raid Awesome Games Done Quick, because why wouldn't we? All right, so let's get into some gaming news for our week. As slow of a week as it was, right, Loki? Loki, you are muted, just so you know, so we'll want to...
Sorry about that. That's so right. Unfortunately, this is not something that we're going to be able to enjoy right away. But of course, we've been getting more sneak peeks from the brand new theme park opened up in Japan for Super Nintendo World. And they kind of alluded to it a little bit when they did the whole thing with Miyamoto talking about these brand new power-up bands. You can get the little kind of... little things you can interact with different rides and features that are there. So what's kind of cool is they mentioned that you would be able to use these with the Nintendo Switch, and apparently we now know how that's going to happen. So, for example, they sell bands that are themed after, you know, Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Daisy, and whatnot. And those bands are actually going to also act as amiibos for those specific characters as well. So, for example, if you take the Mario power-up band and you scan it on your Nintendo Switch, you get Mario in the game. So it'd be just like you had a Mario amiibo. So that's kind of cool, a little bit additional functionality for those. Now, that's only going to work, though, with the Nintendo Switch. It will not work with the Wii U and 3DS, but it is still pretty cool that they're going to have these kind of NFC points throughout the park that you can use this. Also, there's been some footage leaked of the actual rides as well. So,
oh, wow.
I did see some POV footage of the Yoshi ride. It doesn't really show much of it. It's mostly outdoors and kind of showing some of the stuff decorated around it, but it's definitely very detailed. So, hopefully we'll get some more leaks of that soon. I'm very curious to see what the Mario Kart ride looks like, but at the very least, it's cute, the Yoshi ride stuff.
I hope it's better than Autotopia.
it's very much like the Adventureland stuff that you would see at Disneyland, you know, just the kind of cutesy, you know, you ride through a dark tunnel type thing, and they've got
like the Peter Pan ride, that type of stuff.
Yeah, like the Peter Pan ride, or like, you know, I'd say, yeah, it's like a dark ride basically. So it looked cute. I mean,
And it won't smell like diesel like Autotopia. Although I think they did switch to electric a few years ago. But I still have memories of Autotopia. You walk over there, it smells like diesel. It smells like poison.
As of January, no, they have not switched to diesel. They haven't not switched to
electric. I
thought
it was all electric now. Okay.
No.
All right.
It is very clearly running on gas.
Maybe they're pumping the diesel fumes out, kind of like at the pizza place. They pump the pizza fumes out and other stuff. They pump out diesel.
They are not. That stuff, like, I remember because we took the monorail in back in January. We took the monorail in one time, and as it's just kind of going by all of the Autotopia stuff, and it is just strong.
Yeah.
It is just full on.
I forgot you can say you went to Disneyland in 2020. Not a lot of people can.
Yes, we got lucky there.
Yeah. So, January. Not next if you
year.
Missed that.
Yeah. Not this year though. So yeah, no, at least I don't. We're not planning on it.
But anyway, the band. I mean, speaking of Disney, the band sounds a lot like. I think the Florida parks for Disney have like a magic band type of thing. Because I think you use it to kind of like do some entry stuff with the parks. And I think FastPass is all embedded in that now. Some of you East Coasters might know this system better than me because I still have not been to Disney World, unfortunately. And it's probably going to be some time off, to be real. And they have not brought that over to Disneyland yet. Although I would imagine with the Mario, the Super Nintendo World, I would imagine this same system that they've got in Japan will absolutely be in the Hollywood version and the Orlando version as well whenever they end up launching, and it's going
to
be just
cool. It's a similar system to what they've got already in Harry Potter Land with the whole.
But again, not Hollywood. Hollywood didn't have it. Well, at least not when I was
there. Well, no, they have the wands though, so it's similar to that. It's basically different elements that will interact with stuff. So It's not NFC, but that one's IR. But it's the same type of thing. It's an object that interacts with stuff.
Or the Disney hats for World of Color. Wasn't that a thing?
Hats?
Yeah, they had like hats that interacted with the World of Color show. Like Jamie,
Have hats, or they have like it's those might be like bracelets and stuff that they have with those. I think Disneyland. I would be surprised though if they switched to that for FastPass, because everything right now is done through the app and it's all scanned in and everything. I would think they have to rebuild the whole system that's based on. And I know right now they have their sort of like interactive things that you can do as well. Like I know with the whole Star Wars stuff, they've got different things you scan with your phone and whatnot. So they sort of have something similar. They just went a different route, which is fine. I mean, this looks pretty cool too. So I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, sounds neat. I think we all could use a theme park right now. So it's just one of those things where we're trying to look forward to it in the next year. That's for sure. Did anything on the Bowser? You said the ride leaks. Was it just the Yoshi ride, or did anything on that Bowser ride?
Just the Yoshi. So they had like a small clip that appeared on.
I'm sorry, Mario Kart. I keep thinking of the Bowser statue they have there, but
So they only showed like there's like a very brief like kind of video of riding outside in the Yoshi ride. You can hear some of the music playing and everything. They don't really show much of it inside the actual tunnel. And it's like it's all filmed sideways and stuff. You do see like there's like at the very end, it looks like there's Yoshi with baby Mario and there's Kamek in there and baby Peach as well. So I mean, it definitely looks like, one of the dark rides out of Disneyland or something, but it's not shot very well and it's all over the place. But I'm sure once the park opens up for people, you'll get the folks that are filming the POV rides and stuff like that, so you'll be able to see all that.
Oh, that stuff will hit the internet the next day.
I'm not too sure, though, about the Mario Kart stuff, because that's AR, so that might be a little bit tougher to do, but we'll see.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about an undiscovered secret in a video game was discovered this week. And the game is Nier Automata, admittedly a game I've got to go back and finish because I've heard lots of great things about it. And a new interesting part or interesting thing, I got to be very vague here because I don't want to spoil the game for anybody, because I know it did recently come out on Xbox Game Pass and not everyone's gotten around to it yet. An interesting element of the game has kind of unlocked, and this has been secret for like 3.5 years. In fact, the game's developers teased there was one more secret in the game that had gone undiscovered, and it was discovered. So what happened is that there was a guy that kind of reverse engineers like cheat codes and stuff. Lance McDonald, a modder and a data miner, found a cheat code that is actually programmed into the game. And I'm going to kind of say this in very vague, simple terms. Essentially what it does, it allows you to skip from the first boss fight to the end of the game directly. So it's like a warp ahead. And I'm explaining that in very vague terms on purpose because I don't want to ruin the game for anybody. But that's basically what this hidden thing does, is it's basically full speed ahead to the end of the game. The Nier account, Nier Twitter account in Japan, actually confirmed this is it. This is the final secret. And the game's director, Yoko Taro, also said this is the final secret. So that secret they've been teasing years ago, finally discovered. And it's always kind of neat to hear about games having their, even if it was found in somewhat of an unconventional way. So if it was a cheat code, they must have been hoping that somebody would put in a button sequence or something. And I wonder if maybe that button sequence wasn't hidden in other elements of the game or something, but somebody used modding tricks, we'll put it plainly, to instead find the code. What do you think about that, Loki? Because I know you do a lot with, hacking around in the games and doing things. You think that's interesting that's how this final secret was unveiled?
It is interesting that they have it kind of done that way. I can't remember. I want to say, I think the Stanley Parable or something like that had a similar type of cheat code that you could find that, or there was something, some game, I don't remember which one, I'm thinking Stanley Parable, but there was something where you actually had to go into the game files to figure something out. I think that one is to get an achievement, though. You had to actually modify something to get it. But that's kind of cool that they actually have, this cheat code built in. I mean, I know a lot of people build stuff for testing and whatnot, but almost 4 years after it's been released, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us tonight?
I have some stuff. And actually, it's kind of a neat stuff for people who like collecting, vinyl records and everything. So Mother 2, which we got as Earthbound over here, is having a vinyl release of the soundtrack. It is, of course, in Japan right now that it will be released. The orders for it are already out. But it will include 24 songs from the game, a full track listing, including different mixed versions of the music. And for the U.S. or outside of Japan, you can order it from Play Asia. So pretty cool stuff. And it's just really a good soundtrack, for a game. So I'd say if you can grab it if you like collecting vinyl.
Vinyl, sure, one of those things that is more and more like the collector's go-to thing. Like, I feel like, 10 years ago, you might have a vinyl soundtrack that's coming out occasionally, but I feel like lately it's been very, very common. Like, it's more and more of a collectible, a thing that people pursue. Any interest in this?
A couple.
Yeah. Any interest? I was going to say, any interest in this from you guys?
I don't want this one, but I bought the Vib Ribbon one. I mean, mostly to put on my wall. I have a couple of Weird Al albums. He signed one of them. I have my Xanadu soundtrack on vinyl. So it's like certain things, but I would really dig having a record player.
Yeah.
Like, especially one of those ones that would do it to USB.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool. All right. Do you still have a record player, Loki? I remember when you used to mix stuff live.
No, I got rid of that stuff a while ago. Using it. So yeah, I don't.
All right. DJ Roma S in chat says, I have Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game OST on vinyl. Woohoo. All right. Moving on, Loki.
Yep. So we're waiting to hear what the new titles are that are going to be coming to this year. And Inti Create has been teasing some new titles. They have three titles that they say are in development, but we don't know necessarily what those titles are yet. I thought I saw online that it's not Blaster Master, but maybe it is. We'll see. So I don't know. It's just we know that there's more titles in development, maybe coming out this year, but don't know which classic games or maybe even new franchises that they're planning on bringing out. I thought we got confirmation that Bloodstained's getting a sequel, so maybe that's one of them
well. I think that is definitely one of them. I do remember the Bloodstained getting a sequel story recently.
Yeah, I think we talked about that like a week or two ago. Yeah. So I'm sure that's probably one of them.
A Blaster Master 3, that would be like a Blaster Master 0 Part 3. That would be interesting, especially because, it was interesting that it was inspired from that, original NES game. And then it kind of got a sequel that was just its own thing. It was independent of any you know, like the Genesis game or anything else before it. It was kind of its own universe. So that would be cool
maybe
to get
we'll
that.
See a Fester's Quest Zero.
I honestly, the things I would do and the nasty things I would do that I'm not going to say on air for them to have gotten somehow the license to reboot the Guardian Legend, because they did a really good job of Blaster Master, honestly. And I feel like if I'm going to play a game like the Guardian Legend, which is like holy text to me, and I know it's near and dear to Dark Sakura's heart as well, there's only so many companies I would trust with that. And that would be one of them based on what they do with Blaster Master for sure. So,
yeah.
Let's see. Oh, they're still talking about vinyl in the chat. She-Hulk is saying, I have Pac-Man fever on vinyl. I remember when they used to play that at the roller rink.
Fine.
Dated myself a little bit. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Stardew Valley still going. This game's been around for a couple of years and is about to get a pretty major update, 1.5. So there was an update that came out on PC. So this already came out on PC, but we're going to talk a little bit about the consoles. So the patch was something that they didn't really hype it up or anything. It was kind of surprise dropped. Everybody else is supposed to be getting it in January at the end of the month is the current time frame. So not like this week, but maybe in 3 weeks. So update 1.5 is supposed to be ready by the end of January, but they're not going to guarantee that. I'm sure with everything that's going on right now, they're also Barone. I hope I said that name right. Who puts together the game, is kind of talking about the development process, talking about that there is a small team that works with them on the updates, saying really small. 1.5 was apparently two people that actually put that together. So interesting. This will also have additional bug fixes that were not present when the PC released already. What was in this patch? Some new people, new goals, new items, a new quest type, a new farm layout, new character events, community upgrade, home renovations, ducks that swim. Yes, that is one of the bullet points.
Ooh, you can, swimming ducks.
That's right, swimming ducks. You can sit in chairs. You can move your bed. There are fish tanks, new furniture items, new secrets, and 9 new music tracks. And they say there is more that they don't want to spoil. So it is a very major update. And I know this is a huge game on the Switch. So I'm sure there's a lot. In fact, I know people that play it on the Switch and really like. But before Animal Crossing came out, Stardew Valley was kind of like a game to hold them over, I think, for many people. So I know a lot of people will be looking forward to the console release of this for sure. So we'll see when it arrives. Let's move on to other classics. Dark Sakura.
This is also very cool. And actually, I showed it to Dan when I found this, and he was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So the Nintendo 64, I'd say it's actually kind of a divisive system because not everyone was a big fan. You know, there was the cartridge base, everything. However, a modder who goes by the name Gunner reconstructed his Nintendo 64 with some parts from a few other consoles and things like that, and made a portable version. He goes by G-Man Mods with a Z. He was able to make a functioning Nintendo 64 that is just barely larger than the cartridges themselves. It's pretty interesting. It looks like he took a few cues in configuration from the Switch, just in where the other triggers are located. He says, though, that it does have some flaws, that he calls the gaming experience a subpar, and that it could actually be really uncomfortable to hold. It has short battery life. But the purpose was to make the world's smallest Nintendo 64. It makes me think, though, that if it was possible for him to do a handheld version of this, then I don't see why we can't have maybe some place like Analog do a N64 that could be handheld and then perhaps plugged in for TV play. It just makes me think that it would be possible.
oh, wait, it'd be possible, but no one would ever buy it, and it'd be, or no one would be ever able to buy it, and it would be way too expensive because that's
how
all of their consoles are. Like, I would love an NT Mini, but I'm not paying $800 for an NES. I'm sorry.
I'm getting a Duo.
Yeah, and in chat, Bobby is expressing, please not analog until they can figure out supply. Sacred Jade saying, waiting on analog to develop and ship something is eternity. All right, so maybe,
I use them as an example.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Like Duel.
I like the products, but I wish they were in stock and not that expensive.
But what an authentic Nintendo experience.
It is very authentic in that sense, yes.
Anyway, I get what you mean, Dark Sakura. Especially with the patent on the hardware has to be expiring soon if it hasn't already expired, right? That system came out in like 96, right? And what's the time frame on that? 25 years, maybe?
I think so.
Because we see the NESs and the SNESs out there that, you know, play all the old games that you can buy pretty openly now, because I think the patents on the hardware and all that kind of run out at some point. So it would be about that time where Nintendo 64 and PlayStation, honestly, would be having that as well. So that's going to be interesting to see where those kind of homebrew consoles go, especially when it comes to minis. I think a lot of people surprised Nintendo to not do their own N64 Mini and went a different route instead with the whole Game & Watch thing this last year. So, Pixel Pacas in chat says, there are portable gaming devices that run up to PS1 and N64 emulation, but it is emulation and not actual hardware, of course. But those are pretty cheap and decent quality. So, and yeah, some of the things that do Nintendo and Super Nintendo also kind of run through emulation, sometimes to try to improve the lag and all that stuff for HDMI output and all that good stuff. So, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if maybe we can make these things a mass-produced reality someday. Who knows? Anyhow, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about a story that seems to keep coming up every once in a while about Nintendo going after this company in Japan that keeps renting out these go-karts and costumes like Mario characters to kind of do your own like Mario Kart tour of Japan. And finally, though, I believe it is over. They have sealed their victory. And I guess it been the company Maricar, because they thought that they can change their name and get away with that, has been now ordered to pay the tune of 10 million yen, so almost $100,000, to Nintendo for unauthorized use of its IPs and safety concerns, which obviously if you're driving a go-kart in traffic, there could be a problem there. So that was the original settlement back in 2017. So then they went to court again because they changed their name to Street Kart and said that they were unrelated to Nintendo, stickers on all over the carts. But then they got charged an even larger fine of 50 million yen. And then finally, you know, now they are going to have to pay that, and it sounds like that the street cart company is actually having trouble staying afloat, being that, you know, there's a pandemic going on. So it's interesting to see that going, but I mean, what did they really think was going to happen? I mean,
well, and
really,
especially, you know, to tie it back to something you were talking about earlier, you know, now that we know, I think when this all started first going down, we knew that there was a Nintendo World coming to Universal. We didn't know the details of what would be in it. And now we know, I mean, we speculated there's probably a Mario Kart thing that's going to be in it. Now we know for sure. Yes, the flagship, you know, e-ticket ride, if you will, is a Mario Kart ride. And so, of course, they want this experience gone because they don't want to create confusion with the park. And slapping a sticker on there saying not Nintendo isn't exactly enough.
No.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So definitely not surprised to see it go this way.
Yeah, not at all. So it'll be interesting to see if they bring the concept back with something else completely unrelated to Nintendo. But this money, this fine they owe, probably going to put them out of business. And especially, I'm sure the pandemic isn't helping. I don't think things, I think things are a little different over in Japan, but I don't think you have like the crowded, busy streets and bustling activity that you're used to seeing throughout all this pandemic stuff going on. You know, so maybe later this year, like we're all hoping for everywhere else.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, one more before we get to the classic game of the week, which is not this game, but I thought we could talk about a classic anyway, because Gradius 3 is going to be coming to the PlayStation 4 and the Switch as the latest Arcade Archives release. Gradius 3 from 1989, which is, you know, it's a there is a story. You go against the Bacterion Empire. It's a Gradius game. It looks like a lot of the other Gradius games. I remember playing this. Do you remember on the PSP, there was a Gradius collection that had them all on it? I remember playing this on there. And this is good. This is the one that has the big, is the fire plume levels in it. Or was that also in two? Two had that as well. It looks, the fire plumes look different in three. It has a very different look to it. I don't know. How do you define Gradius 3 different than the other two, Dark Soccer? I'm not sure there's an easy way to do that.
And they're all Gradius, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Gradius 3 includes a bonus stage from an alternate perspective and hidden stages with the series past. So that is all available this week for about $8 on the Arcade Archives, which is still going. There's over 100 games that have been released with that. You know, I totally forgot to mention during my gaming week, speaking of like retro collection things, I finally played some of that Sega Ages stuff I bought on Switch. I actually spent a bit of time playing Fantasy Zone, the Sega Ages version of that, because, you know, that's a cute little shooter.
It's the greatest version of that game, but it's really, I love Fantasy Zone.
It is straight up Defender, but cuter.
The Sega Ages one, which Sega Ages ones? The Sega Ages 20, they didn't do the 2500 version on that, did they?
I don't think so.
No, this is the original. Okay, never mind. I was confusing it with the 2500.
Yeah, no worries. So, but it was fun. Yeah, I played a little bit of that. I actually played a little bit of Phantasy Star and Alex Kidd, because those are all the games that I bought because there was a big sale on all that stuff a couple weeks ago on the Switch. So I picked up a bunch of them. So sorry, that just kind of sparked that to mind since we were talking about retro stuff that's available on the Switch. Even if there's no virtual console per se, I mean, sure, there's the, you know, Nintendo Online Library and stuff, but I think you're seeing more and more companies that are kind of just doing their own types of releases. If I'm not mistaken, Square Enix just did the, they did another collection that just came out on the Switch. Was it Final Fantasy Legend that just came out? There's like a collection of those old Game Boy games that just came out on Switch as well. So, all right. Well, speaking of classics, let's take a trip down memory lane with the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and she finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys, you know, you need to put down your 2020 games. Nothing good came out this year anyway besides Animal Crossing. And you need to check out this game instead. Although, I gotta say, before we get to this week's game, because you picked quite the game for this week.
I had to start it off with something major.
You had to start off 2021. I just have to put the whole, like, this is not a game that holds up well to what is considered okay in 2020. Like this game's got some problematic
stuff.
It's a different time. So I want to make that very clear, because I'm about to play footage from the game and it might be a little bit like yikes, but I can't find
my other link about it. Oh well, I'll have to find it.
But we're going to talk about this game for the purposes of commentary and where the hell did a game like this come from and how did it get the notoriety that it did. So I felt this one needed a disclaimer. So there you go.
Absolutely needs a disclaimer.
Yes.
I had a feeling that you would say something.
Well, there you go. So there's your disclaimer. It is a choice that's going to make you guys go, ugh. Okay. So get to the game, Dark Sakura, please.
All right. So the game is Boonga Boonga.
Perfect. Oh,
and
the movie didn't even play. I didn't have it loaded right. Let me fix that real quick, and then you'll get that.
Okay.
All right.
So I picked Boonga Boonga. And It was also known as Spank'em. It was an arcade game only, thank God, that was developed by a South Korean company called TAF Systems. And it is the first, and I hope the only, arcade game that simulates something called Kancho, which is a prank where you are poked with two fingers in the butt while you're distracted. So yes, it is a Kancho game. It really became, by the way, it came out in 2001. It really became kind of like a meme when there was a really badly translated flyer that went out that showed the banking and the Kancho gameplay. And the game was designed for the Japanese market, according to advertising material that was actually well received at the 2000 Tokyo Game Show. The contract was for 200 units. Only 5 were distributed. And now we're going to get into the problematic nature of this. So, and let me go ahead and do a little bit of description of what the cabinet looks like, because all we have up, I think, is the video, right?
Yes, and the podcast, you just can't even see that.
All right, so the cabinet is, you've got two aspects of it, kind of like two-thirds of it has the monitor and the controller, and the right-hand side has a thing for prizes. So your controller is a huge butt, a jean-clad butt, I think it is, or slacks or something, but it is a huge butt. And it, you use that, you actually have a plastic finger controller as well that you use to stick in the butt. So you have different characters that you can punish. You have the ex-girlfriend, the ex-boyfriend, Yakuza, the mother-in-law, the gold digger, the prostitute, the child molester, and the con artist. And their facial expression shows on the monitor. We'll get to that a little bit later. So you get different cards that rate you on your, quote, sexual behavior. And if you perform exceptionally, you get a small plastic trophy that looks like poop. So that is the game. That right there is the game.
And people are looking at this footage, and it's almost hard to watch because it's just so, like, the expressions they make are, they're not of God, Jamie. They're not of God.
Right. They're completely unnatural. So here is the problem, is that, first of all, I mean, I honestly think that, I don't know how Kancho came about. I've always found that to be a disturbing prank. I mean, honestly, I think I would rather get, have someone be pantsed than, or a wedgie than, Kancho, but hey. But anyway, and yes, I know Fifth Dream school kids do it to people. Kancho has existed, like, for an age.
Yeah,
and it's in all kinds of TV and you name it. I don't think there's anyone over here who's not familiar with the concept.
And a lot of kids are assholes. Like,
a lot of kids are assholes.
We know that.
And they like to apparently play with assholes. So
Anyway,
so basically with this game, though, here is what gets to be super problematic about it. And by the way, the way that it it's really terrible is that, like, there's a whole mode in there that, you know, by punishing a mother-in-law or an ex-girlfriend or something, there's a lot of just misogyny in there, you know? Like, for example, I mean, like, most of the characters in there, from what I understand, are female. And it really is just like, it's just really problematic. But in other things too, is like the fact that it depends on how you perform. Like, if you do it too soft or too hard, they're going to mock you. And
there were, and like I said, there were only 5 of these that actually were released. So thank God it didn't get, you know, more widespread. But it's still just like, it's creepy, you know? And on top of that, I mean, something like this definitely would get like the million moms, you know, losing their shit about it. And this time they would actually be losing their shit over something worth losing their shit over.
Well, this game simply couldn't release today. It just can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... It is definitely one of those things where, and I think this might beg the question, so why a classic game of the week then? Well, number one, not every classic game that's ever been picked is a good game. And sometimes it's about kind of like learning.
Did I do Miss Nude World?
You sure did. And sometimes it's about learning from where we've been. And this game is also one of the, in many ways, I think it's kind of like a game of urban legend. Like, we heard about this game.
I did Polybius.
And didn't believe that it actually existed, and it does. Anyway, the B-roll is finally running out, and I don't really want to watch it anymore, so I'm just coming back to us. So,
yeah, just leave it there.
Yeah.
But, like, and that was kind of the whole reason why I do the classic game of the week, mm-hmm. is to outline things that do exist or have existed or almost existed or has a big impact on the gaming world. And this was a meme for an age, an early internet. I mean, I would even say that this going around the internet, people were talking about it for like a couple of years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this one, I picked it because of its notoriety and the impact it had on gaming culture.
Interesting that you do a meme-tastic game the week that Flash died, which was the source of all of our memes. Bobby got into this on his show a little bit. No, I think it's a funny tie-in in a way.
I wasn't really saying oops.
Oh.
I mean, like, I could also do like the lobster catching game, submarine catcher.
It's fine.
You remember that one, don't you?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's up there with like the table flipping game and
I was going to say we need the table flipping game now.
I don't know if the table flipping game is 10 years old yet. Well, it's got to be.
I don't think so.
But I mean, the other weird one I would have chosen would have been like submarine catcher. I just have to see how old it is.
Yeah. The table flipping game is actually 10 years old. Came out January 22nd, 2010.
Ooh, okay. So pretty close.
It is
11 years old.
Eligible.
All right. Good to know.
See? We'll see. Maybe I'll do like a classic arcade only.
And I think you're okay with me bringing it up here. We're still trying to figure out what the theme might be for your special picks in 2021, if any. Maybe this will just be a year with nothing special.
We can highlight Konami classic Pachi slot.
No,
I'm not going to do Pachi slot.
No.
For DJ Ranma S says table flipping game was at MAGFest. Table flipping game is in Kintetsu Mall in San Francisco.
Yeah, a lot of it's at the mall in San Francisco, and I want to say, don't they get one at California Extreme too? And there's usually there's a couple of those that travel around at the different conventions. But wasn't MAGFest the one that it didn't just have the table flipping game, but they had the whole thing where you could donate like $50 to charity or something, and you could actually flip a table that they would set up with everything. Like, they had a group of volunteers that would set the table. You pay $50 and you can actually flip a real table.
Bobby says yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. That was a thing.
But there's like also like another game along those lines, which is like the tablecloth pulling game. There's one like that. I mean, there were some different games that were along those lines, but We'll see, because I would love to just highlight different weird arcade games. Okay, so this segment is the weird arcade game of the month. That's it. Officially, the fucking weird arcade game of the month.
Weird arcade game of the month. All right.
No, the fucking weird arcade game of
the month. You think you can think of 12 to get us through the year?
Girl, who are you talking to?
All right. So there it is. Your weird fucking arcade game of the month.
No, fucking weird arcade game.
Sorry, fucking weird arcade game. Wait.
So it has been said.
I'm sorry. You just picked the acronym FWAG.
FWAG. It's the FWAG.
The FWAG of the month.
I mean, come on. This is from the same person who said that our first tournament was going to be called SCAT.
At least you didn't do the fucking arcade game of the week or the month. That's glad you didn't do that. All right. The fucking weird arcade game of the month. All right. Perfect.
Yeah. The flag. Twiggity flag.
And I can't think of anything weirder than Oonga Boonga. Is it Boonga Boonga?
Boonga Boonga.
Boonga Boonga. All right.
Or Spank'em.
Spank'em.
All right, Dark Tetsuya, go update the wiki.
All right. Let's get to some rapid fire news, because honestly, that's all we have left for tonight, really. We're going to do some rapid fire news and some release dates, and then we're going to get to the roundtable. It's a little shorter tonight just because of this week hasn't had as much going on. But it gives us a little more time to go check out AGDQ or check out the demo for Loki's game or whatever else in gaming's going on for you. So let's travel and look at some rapid fire news pretty quick.
And by the way, I'm still going to see if it works on an EverDrive. So stay tuned.
It does if you do an update to it, apparently, but like I don't have anything to test on, so I can't really say.
We can test it. I told Hubs.
Nice.
All right. Well, eventually it'll be on a cartridge anyway, so I mean, no problem there. So PlayStation Plus, we've got our lineup of games coming out in January, starting off with Maneater on PlayStation 5, and then for PlayStation 4, Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Greedfall. And then we got the inklings that Respawn is working on a brand new franchise or a new IP. And we know that because they have a job listing that says, join a small team being formed to develop a brand new IP. So it doesn't get more direct than that. What that IP is, who knows? We'll find out, I guess, eventually. But it is happening. That's it.
All right. Let's talk about the worst games of 2020 per Metacritic. Now, I don't know how much stock y'all put in Metacritic. I don't put a lot in it, but it is interesting to see what, you know, some of their number crunching does. So the 10 worst games, according to Metacritic, number 10 is the Elder Scrolls Blades on the Switch. And that's the one that I've played. And I'm like, is it? I get why people don't like it. It does dumb down the Elder Scrolls formula a little bit too much. And yeah, I mean, it's probably not totally worth your time. But I didn't like hate it, but it definitely is not. It does not have the depth of an actual Elder Scrolls game. And I think people kind of see right through that. These others, I haven't played any of these others that are on the list. With an average score of 42, the ninth worst game was Gleamlight for the Switch. With an average score of 41, Street Power Soccer for the PlayStation 4 was number 8. With an average score of 40, Tamarin on the PlayStation 4 was the seventh worst game of the year. A score of 39... Remothered Broken Porcelain for the PC was too broken and buggy for this year. Number 5 was Ark of Alchemist for the Switch. People complaining about its dated graphics and not great story. Number 4, the fourth worst game of the year with an average score of 34 for the PC, Fast and Furious Crossroads. Yes, to be confused with the Fast and Furious movie because it was a tie into that game. The third worst game of the year on the PlayStation 4, Dawn of Fear. The second worst game of the year, oops, I accidentally went ahead here. The second worst game of the year, the 13 remake, XIII is kind of how it's stylized with the Roman numerals. The remake of 13 for the Xbox One because it was bugs, 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 and the developer actually put out an apology. Average score of 32. So what was worse than that? With an average score of 29, the worst game of 2020 is Tiny Racer for the Switch, a $10 racing game where you take miniature cars through kitchens and forests, and apparently the gameplay stinks. And that is the worst game of 2020, according to Metacritic. Again, that, however you feel about that.
That's kind of subjective, I think, because, like, I don't know, like, I think some of those games aren't at so bad on there, but like there's some like Shadow of the Ronin, Revenge of the Samurai that didn't make the list, which really should. If you've ever played that game, which I hope you haven't, it's a real PlayStation 4 game, and it's really awful. And the guy that makes these games basically does it, it's just this giant empty void of nothing that you run around forever and then you fight one monster that'll immediately kill you and that's it. And Yeah. So I'm surprised that that didn't make the list.
I guess
no one's played it, so no one's reviewed it.
And again, I completely understand if you do not want to put all of your stock in Metacritic. But, you know, since we addressed earlier in the show, I had that question from No One Special last week where it was like, what is the worst game of the year? I don't know. I wanted to kind of throw something in here where it's like, but here's what other people are saying. So and why I'm kind of like, I don't know if Elder Scrolls Blades is the worst thing I played this year, but I guess it wasn't great. But yeah. All right. Anyway. Let's move on. Dark Sakura has one more, I think, for us. A rapid fire story.
The Doom account celebrated 2021 with something that it was a thing for a while. But it is a picture of Doom Guy and Isabel, their Nendoroid figures, skipping along hand in hand amongst some potted plants. With the name Happy New Horizons.
So the meme will not die in 2021.
The meme will not die. They are the best of friends.
I hope Doom Guy becomes a... they should just do, like, you know, when they have the next Smash announcement of the people that are being added to it, just have a twofer. Have, you know, Isabel and Doom Guy.
Is in there?
Yeah, Isabel's in there, but it would be great if...
Oh, she is?
Yeah, Isabel's a character already, but...
Is it playable? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Her little intro was adorable too.
Yeah, she was.
Okay, well then add Doom Guy in there.
Yeah,
add Doom Guy.
Doom Guy would actually be kind of a neat addition, and I think these memes only play into it a little more. I don't know if Doom Guy is necessarily a Nintendo thing, but let's be real. We're getting to the point where there's a lot of characters in there that I don't always associate with Nintendo platforms. So why not? I think it'd be funny if Doom Guy got in there. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out what games are coming out this week. I don't know if we have a lot, but I'll check. We do it every week. Loki, do we have any games coming out this week in the U.S.?
There's not a lot, but there are a couple. Okay. So we have Werewolf the Apocalypse, Heart of the Forest on Nintendo Switch. And then we have Iris Fall, which is Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And that's it.
My Japanese releases are empty. I do not have anything this week in Japan. Dark Sakura, what about the UK?
Equally empty.
Yep. It's a quiet week, but we always check in. So at least there's a cut. There's like two games Loki named here in the US. There is that.
Yeah.
All right.
I love you.
I am going to open up the round table. If you guys have any questions in chat, anything you want to ask us, now is a great time to put that in. I also don't know if we have any emails tonight. Did we, Dark Sakura?
We have one.
Oh, we have one? Okay. Before you read it, I did, I guess I already mentioned this in the show, but I had it here as a placeholder, so I wouldn't forget, and I'll mention it again. Awesome Games Done Quick is this week, and for those of you that are watching on Twitch, stay tuned. After we're done here at OLR, we'll be going to raid that presentation. And I think we'll be hosting that pretty much on VOG throughout the entire week. So if you want to chat about it with other folks, and possibly I'll probably be in there when Bobby's doing the hosting stuff, because, you know, our comments kind of get lost in the big chat. So we will be hosting it. If you want to chat with some of us, you can do that in the VOG chat room, because I think we did that last time and it worked out pretty well. So check that out throughout the week. All right. So I've mentioned it twice now, so I know I'm good. So let's get to that email. If you want to send us an email, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Dark Sakura, do you want to get to the email tonight?
Yeah, no, it got really quiet for a moment, and I thought you were saying something else, so sorry.
No, you're good.
Okay. Hello, LR. Congratulations to everyone on surviving 2020. Hopefully we'll all get shot soon and see things getting back to sort of almost normal. I know I'm really looking forward to actually going out in public and playing DDR again. Last week, you mentioned all of the Xbox 360 Halo games going offline. I just wanted to point out two things. First, that only specific servers for those games are being shut down. You will still be able to play the games, earn most of their achievements, and even continue to play custom multiplayer matches with friends, as well as multiplayer games over LAN or split screen. Matchmaking, file sharing, online stats, and online challenges are the specific things that are going away. Second thing is that literally all of the games affected are also natively available on Xbox One, where they will remain available and fully supported. most of the titles are included in the Master Chief Collection. The two that aren't Halo Wars and Spartan Assault are natively available on their own. If you're a Game Pass subscriber, you already have access to all of these. If not, they're usually offered at deep discounts during every major sale. Heck, they're on sale right now, though only for a few more hours. Buying them all together would cost about $35 at the moment, which is not bad for an entire series. So I guess what I'm essentially saying is that this shouldn't be a big deal for most people. I suppose only the folks truly affected are those people still regularly playing on Xbox 360s. As popular as it was, I can't imagine that there are too many of those left. There's also people who don't own the newer systems, just saying.
Yeah, I think also, sorry, I know there's more email, but just to kind of address that bullet point, you're right. I don't want to dismiss anything YYR is saying. I think Microsoft's done an excellent job of making sure the game is still playable for most. That being said, there, you know, because we love our retro here on this show, of course, there is going to be a subsection of people that are very interested in playing the game as it was, in its original form, in its OG form. Because as much as, you know, Microsoft's done a very good job porting that over with the Master Chief Collection and so forth, there's always going to be a couple people that are going to wonder, what was it like beforehand? But I don't necessarily disagree with what YYR is saying. Like, you're right, there's a lot of ways to still experience Halo and play it and have a good time. It's just, I think, more of that archivist, you know, person that wants to see it in a museum someday, looking back and going, well, that's a bummer that the online is gone. But we all know online never stays around forever, right? So anyway, sorry, Jamie, but wanted to put that in there.
End by saying that I'm currently putting the finishing touches on the Pixel Poops remake. I'm still on track to release sometime this month, though I'm guessing it'll wind up being toward the end. The Commodore version definitely needs a bit more time in the oven as well. I should be posting on the vlog Discord sometime this week regarding testing opportunities, so please look forward to that. Happy pooping, and of course, happy gaming on the whole. Happy New Year, Aaron YYR.
Thank you for the update, YYR. I'm excited to play both versions of Pixel Poop, all the poop this year, between the two games that YYR is doing and the one that Loki's doing. This is definitely the year of poop, as he said in that direct a couple weeks ago. So, love it. All right. That's it for emails, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. So I want to get some of the comments and questions from chat. Act Deft in chat says, when are we finally doing an Among Us night? Great question. After AGDQ, but I really want to make sure we get that in sometime this month, or I'll keep putting it off. So, probably mid-month, and I'll try to stew on a good day with Bobby. I'm assuming he wants to do it. If he doesn't want to do it, then I'll work on it with Shane, who I know wants to do it. And we'll try to get that like in the middle of it. We got to get past AGDQ, and I want to let Bobby get past his shifts and stuff before we really worry about that. But in the next week or two after that, for sure. And some people are saying, I just bought the game on the Steam sale. Oh, that should be fun. Other questions. Oh, this is good. Azette in chat says, should I submit the streetlight in front of my house for a Pokestop or gym? Sarcasm implied. Okay. So, true story, there was a virtual Ingress event that was going on yesterday, and sometimes what people do is they'll get on to, because, you know, it's been virtual Ingress events for like 9 months, so people do like recharging of portals, and then they also go on to, I still call it OPR, because that's what it used to be called back in the day, Operation Portal Recon. I think it's called Niantic Wayfarer is what it's called now, and we go in and we review submissions together. And they're getting worse and worse, you guys. Like, I was in there reviewing, and there was a couple good ones. There was a couple, like, you know, play structures at parks. Like, new, the best ones I always see are new parks where the street view doesn't show that the park is even built yet, but the photos clearly show there's now a park there. And that's, like, the best stuff that gets submitted. But then there's so much garbage, you guys. Like, I saw street signs that were getting submitted. I saw one where it was a street sign being submitted, and I was like, this street sign is bad. But how is this little free library in the game? It shouldn't be in there either. I actually put in the note. I'm like, get rid of the little free library next to it because it's like in somebody's backyard. If you look at where the pin is, it's terrible. It should never have gotten through the system. Unfortunately, there are people, and I knew this would happen when they let Pokemon Go players into there, and I am not shading Pokemon Go players. I play it too. But the thing is that the Pokemon mentality is the more stops, the more gyms, the better. More, 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 more. And I get that because you want to be able to spin everything. Who doesn't want to spin on their house for Pokeballs? That is the worst possible thing for Ingress, which is a very player versus player
there's
type
servers.
Of thing. And there's, well, you would think, I just wish that like at some point Niantic, if they're going to allow Pokemon players to approve things, then only let it be approved for Pokemon. Do not let it cross over into Ingress. Because it's getting annoying.
The Harry Potter thing, too.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about Harry Potter because of her. But
I just quit playing all of them.
Yeah, but you're right. That all affects that, too. But even generally for Harry Potter, the more the better, I think. So it's kind of the same thing as the Pokemon thing. So it's just, oh, yeah. Azette saw a literal rock yesterday. Yep, that was the thing. I got a stop in Mexico. And I'm always usually like, okay, I know these like places like Puerto Rico, Mexico, certain parts, remote Canada, you know, some of these other areas, they need more stuff. But the submission I got in Mexico was a telephone pole. Wasn't painted or anything, just a telephone pole. So it was a no. The description was in Spanish. I didn't even need to run it through Google Translate. I was like, I know what this is and it's garbage. And the supporting statement is always, our neighborhood needs a Pokestop. We need a Pokestop to engage more people. There's so many people here that would love a Pokestop. I think I had one that was a laundry room in a department complex that was like, the community needs a Pokestop here. We're trying to make a gym and all this stuff. And like, I'm going to be honest. If that wording is in your justification, I'm already like down a point in my mind. If your only justification is we need a Pokestop, you're already down a point. I don't want to say I always deny, but because there have been a couple that were like park, again, like the park sign example where it's like, this park could use a Pokestop. It's brand new and was just built. I'm like, okay, fair. It meets criteria. I don't love that they're relying only on Pokestop, but I get it. Pokemon Go is the large game. That's where people's brains are at. But, you know, just remember, it's not only Pokemon people that are reviewing those. So, anyway. Tiger Claw says there's a gym located near a Burger King that used to be a Pokestop. That will happen when another Pokestop nearby gets promoted. There's a whole science to it, and I won't get into it too much on here. You can read about it online. But basically, if you take the map of the world and you split it up into itty-bitty squares, if there's two Pokestops in a square, one becomes a gym. If there's five Pokestops in a square, two become a gym. Or is it seven? Is that, correct me if I'm wrong. She knows more about this stuff than I do. But it's depending on how many things are in that square, you get more and more gyms. So the reason why the Burger King became a gym is because something became a stop right by it. And I'll give you this tip, because not as many people talk about this tip, but we've done it. If you want to control which of the two becomes a gym, you can do that. But you have to have Ingress. You don't even have to have a high level account. You can have a level one account. The portal in Ingress, because they're all portals in Ingress, the portal that has more upvotes on the photos combined overall will become the gym. So this has happened, and I'll admit to this, is that some of the locals here will say, hey, I got a new portal. It's over here. This is going to trigger a gym. Which one makes more sense to be the gym? And we'll all go upvote the photo on the gym, so, or on the one we want to be the gym, so that it pushes that as the gym. So there it is. So you can work the system and control, but you only have the 24 hours from when it goes live to when it promotes to work that out. Because once something becomes a gym, it doesn't regress based on the thumbs up. The only way it regresses from being a gym is if it gets removed. I think even if there's only one, I think if the other stop gets removed and you still have a gym, I think it stays a gym. I don't think anything demotes to stops ever. So anyway, there you go. The more you know. All right. And Azette is clarifying that an S14 cell, 2 to 5 portals is a gym, and 6+ equals another gym. So it's 6 is the magic number. So, all right, there you go. A little science on that for your GPSs. And again, if you're, I encourage people to submit Pokestops, but please just submit legit things. Lots of signs on trails are great, and we don't really have enough of them. There's surely a walking trail in your neighborhood. Just make sure you get the sign that officially designates it as a trail. Parks, especially if there's new ones, great. Churches, great. Just make sure, try to stay away from gated churches, or if it's going to be a gated church, then put it on the sign that's out in the street and not inside the gates. I think that's much better. That type of stuff is great and fine, and I have no problem approving those types of things. Here's the all-star winner from yesterday. I think this is before we were chatting, is that I got a trophy in someone's house. It was a picture of a trophy in someone's house, and it said their name and what award they won. And so when I rejected it, I put in the description, would so-and-so please stop submitting Pokestops where their name is easily identifiable? ? And I sent that as my reasoning. All right. Anyway. Sadly, I don't think they copy paste those reasonings when they deny it. I wish they would, because I've put some really like shady things in there that deserve to be read. All right. Anyway, I think that's enough. No more emails tonight. So I think we're getting to the point where we wrap up the show.
I did have some last minute stories.
Oh, do you last minute stories? All right. Sure.
Yes.
Did you say you had one too, Jamie?
I do have one, and I just have one.
Why don't you go first, Jamie, and then we'll do Loki.
Jared Nandin, who cosplayed as the South Park guy who played World of Warcraft, he died of COVID-19.
That's terrible.
He was a big mainstay in the community, big cosplayer. He's actually a friend of some of my other friends.
Hmm.
He would go to the cons. He had like his computer, kind of a computer that recreated the one in the show and the table with all the, you know, candy and, rock stars on it and everything. To tell DJ Rama S, no, I didn't know him in person. I have friends who know him. So I had heard things, you know, peripherally from other people. So it was a sort of like, you know, 6 degrees kind of thing. He died for COVID. There is a GoFundMe, and Rama just said it, there's a GoFundMe to support the funeral costs for his family. We can put it somewhere for people to find. If you can help, you know, please consider helping.
That's sad. It's hitting more and more close to home every day. So please take precautions, folks. I think most people listening to this show are. I don't need to lecture everybody, but you don't think it'll affect you or anyone you know until it does. That's the thing about it. So
actually, if Ronald will post it, then I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, Loki. Let's go to you.
So I had a mod that's been created for Cyberpunk 2077 to allow for a sort of working third person mod, which is kind of cool to be able to play that game that way. Now, it's not perfect because there is quite the process to install it. Plus, it doesn't work in cutscenes because the game was meant to be played in a first person view. So there's not really a way to alter the cameras that much. But it is still something. So that's kind of cool that it is available. And if you want to check it out, of course, it's on Nexus Mods. So go check it out there.
Awesome. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Then I think with that, we're about ready to wrap the show up. Again, I know it's a little shorter tonight, but with the holiday and everything, it just, that's the way it was going to work out. We kind of knew that. We will be back next week, however, in 7 days to talk about whatever happens in the gaming industry next week. We will also be making our 2021 predictions next week, so that should be fun, with you guys in our chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. So we'll hope you join us in 7 days. Thank you again for tuning in and watching the show, whether you watched it here on Twitch or whether you listened to the podcast feed on popular podcast platforms like iTunes and Spotify. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has the voice. But if the gamers aren't here to have their opinions read, then we don't have enough voices. So we could always use more. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word about the show. If you are interested in helping the show out, you can always support our shop over at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/shop. You can pick up some cool merchandise, including the OLR shirt that Loki's wearing on Twitch tonight. And I got to say, I really like the VOG shirt that I bought there. It's a great shirt and good material. So I'm not just saying that because I want the sale. It is a nice shirt. So definitely encourage you to check out the shop. We will be adding to it throughout the year. Just not this week. So check that out. I think that's it. Let's go around now and get everybody's final thoughts and wrap up for the night. So, Loki, I'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
I'm just going to have to be working on my game quite a bit. So, hopefully we'll see some more progress on that soon.
And my final thought is, you know, just a continued message. I guess I already said this, but, you know, stay safe. Please take precautions. We're almost there. We're almost there. If we can just get to the next administration, who might get vaccines out a little bit faster than the current one, and so forth, we may have light at the end of the tunnel. And please consider getting vaccinated when it's available. I'm a little shocked at how many people are resisting the idea after all the clinical trials that things went through, and everybody that is saying, and all the doctors and medical experts that are saying it's safe. I can't wait to get mine. I'll be, as soon as they let me, I'm gonna get it. So, Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
I wish that we would implement what they did in Indonesia, that if you refuse to wear a mask, and I'll even add refuse to get the vaccine, you have to bury the bodies. That's it.
Morbid, but yes. All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Happy gaming. Try to make the best of the situation. Enjoy your comfort games, okay? Enjoy your backlog, whatever it is you're gaming. Have fun, and we'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.